Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with International Masterminders Association. Our guests today will introduce themselves. Halima, would you like to go first?
Oh, good morning. My name is Havila Malone. I am a talk show host, and I am a New Orleans native. And I am so looking forward to speaking with you guys today. The Thinking Grow Rich book has been such an amazing, amazing tool for me in my life. And, you know, I'm so excited to be a part of the show today.
Wonderful, wonderful. And our next guest is Dr. Tina Dupree.
Cheryl,
would
Dr.
you introduce
Dupree
yourself?
She'll be on shortly. Cheryl, she's not on right now, so we can just go to a commercial, please.
Okay, commercial, please.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Okay, thank you.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Okay. Well.
Yes. Good morning.
Good
again.
Morning.
My apologies, Cheryl. My apologies. Dr. Dupree is on the line, so my apologies to our listening audience, but she is on the line. Thank you.
Yes, I'm on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Dupree. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show this morning. Would you please introduce yourself? Tell the listening audience some jewels about you. There's so much to say.
Okay, great. First of all, I would like to thank you all for the opportunity of inviting me to come on the program today. I have been a great admirer of Ann McNeil for many years, probably more years than some of your listeners were born. Anyway, I am...
Dr. Dupree. I am missing in action. Dr. Dupree? I think we're having some technical difficulties. Dr. Dupree. Okay, well, while we work that out, I'll introduce Dr. Dupree?
Yes.
We lost you there. You, just as you started to say who you were, you vanished. Can you introduce yourself again?
Yes, I can. And first of all, I don't know if everyone heard or not, I gave accolades to Ann McNeil because basically she is a role model to the world, I believe. I started my business 25 years ago, Motivational Training Center, because I wanted to teach people to do what I do very successfully, and that is to speak for a living. And through that, I started a nonprofit organization called Professional Speakers Network, where I show people exactly how to do that. I hold nothing back. For the last 21 years that we've been doing the training, we've certified our speakers. We've had over 200 people write and publish books. So we show people how to use their gifts, talents, and abilities and make money.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm going to be your host. My name is Cheryl Duncan, and I have been a masterminder with International Mastermind Association since 2009. I still consider myself a baby, as unlike my guest who is accomplished in reaching their goals, I'm en route to reaching my goals. So I thank you, ladies. We are so looking forward to learning so much from you, especially with planning and setting goals and deadlines and all of those tools that you have used to reach your successes. We'd like to have you enlighten our audience. Now, if I'm not mistaken, at some point in time, you ran across a book that made a difference in your life. But either of you agree that that book was Think and Grow Rich?
I definitely agree. This is Dr. Dupree. I had the original Think and Grow Rich book, and then Ann gave me a chance to read and purchase the new one, which she is a part of. And so basically it has a lot of goals and things in there to help you to determine what you want, because I find that most people have no idea what they want out of life.
And yes, it's Havila Malone, and I found the book tremendously helpful for me. I was able to be introduced to the book when I was in my teens, and it really helped put together the principles that have helped guide my life. And even at the time when I read the book, I didn't fully, I want to say, grasp everything and every nugget that there was, but some of those overlining principles that were in that book really did kind of help set me on the path to be able to achieve some of my goals, and especially the masterminding. I remember listening to someone on the radio saying, if you are like the most, you know, accomplished, the most knowledgeable, or, you know, the top of your game per se in the group of people who you're in, then more than likely you're in the wrong group. So you have to surround yourself with people who can help you to grow, and people who are putting in place those plans and safeguards so that you can then continue to grow along with that group of people, that mastermind. So Think and Grow Rich has been such a tremendous part of my life. And even now, more so as I've gotten older, now I come to grasp things a little bit better. So,
wow. I'd like to go back to the beginning of what you said. You said you were first introduced to the book in your youth. So now, did someone love you enough to give that to you in the form of a gift, or were you just innately picked up this book and said, let me read it? What's that story?
Yeah, actually, I have always been one who grasps for knowledge. I actually graduated from college when I was 19 years old. Thank you. You know, and let me tell you, and it wasn't because I was some super genius. It was really because I had goals and I had dreams for my life, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get to them, but I know that these are the things that I want to accomplish, and one of them was getting out of school.
Okay.
Definitely put together some plans that helped me to accomplish that goal. But I was always thirsty for knowledge. And so I would go, you know, to the library, and I would look up books, or if I overheard somebody talking about a particular book, I would go look it up and see what it was about. And Think and Grow Rich, I cannot remember exactly how that one was introduced to me, whether I heard someone talking about it and was like, oh, okay, I got to go and get that one, or someone specifically suggested it to me. But I remember getting the book, and what really stood out to me was the concept of, if you can conceive it and believe it, you could achieve it. And I was like, okay, wow. Wow. Really?
Exactly. So, Dr. Dupree, I hear you say that Ed McNeil gave you the book, even though you owned the book already. So it sounds to me that a true treasure would be that of giving someone else the words, the book, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, so that it can propel their life to another level. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that, because basically, the first book that I bought, I was an avid listener of Nightingale Conant when they were on the radio a long time ago, and it was all scratchy and all, because I'm 66 years old, so I'm like way back. And I was into improving myself because I had such a low self-esteem, and I wanted to find ways that I could build my self-esteem, so I started to read positive books. And then they had this radio station, I can't even remember which one it was, that actually played through Nightingale Conant, Napoleon Hill's excerpts from Think and Grow Rich and excerpts from him speaking. So I went out and I purchased the book. And then years later, Ann McNeil mentioned to me Think and Grow Rich, and I'm going like, hey, I have that book already. She said, but you don't have the new one. So basically, I right on the spot, I purchased the new one from her. And I had been on a cruise with, I can't remember his name right now, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, years ago. I had been on a cruise with him. As well. So I have like three Think and Grow Rich books, but I love the new one because Ann McNeil has some quotes and comments in the front of it, and I admire her so much until it's absolutely wonderful when you see someone who believes in something so positively and to the extreme and to the extent that they want to share it with other people, then that's great.
So having the knowledge that you two ladies have acquired, and especially the knowledge that has come through Think and Grow Rich, have you all also shared that with other people?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. I mean, I believe it's our duty that once you have something, especially a jewel of knowledge like that, that can be so profound and so powerful in your life, that you have to share that information. And really, that has been my goal and why I chose to go the route of developing a talk show, because like I come up in the television world. I was actually the host and a spokesperson for a major corporation on like the Home Shopping Network and QVC, and I've used my skills and talents for so, you know, many other things, but it was like, no, it's time for me to be able to not only share other people's stories and their successes and the things that have helped them get to where they are, because I'm all about providing people proof of what's possible in life. And so when you have the information that is given in Think and Grow Rich, and how just even about how the interchange of energy, how important that is, like you have to let people know that, because it can literally change their lives. It can change their lives. And so for you to have those type of jewels of information and not share it is a crime. It is a crime.
Interesting you would say that, because that's how, and I know we're getting ready to go to commercial, but I'm so glad you said that, because that's how the organization International Mastermind Association came into being, because Ann McNeil thought it not robbery to share her knowledge with others, and out of that was born an association who has changed the lives of children and adults through the skills and the technique that we use. So I invite our listening audiences to please consider becoming a member of International Mastermind Association. And with that being said, we're going to take a commercial break.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Thank you. This particular show is focusing on the power of the mastermind, and that's one of the chapters in the book, Think and Grow Rich. In fact, it's the 9th step toward riches. So let's talk about the importances of having those go-to people in our lives, that circle of friends that we feed off of and that we run ideas by. Dr. Dupree, let's start with you. How important is it to have that support group? And tell us something about how you choose those people who will be in your inner court.
Okay, well, I basically teach something that I say you always need three kinds of people. You need people of, you need skilled people, you need people of influence, and then you need people who have the resources. So basically, I kind of look around to see exactly who I can help, but also who can help me, because it has to be a win-win situation. I believe that one of the most important principles is the principle of sowing and reaping. So I believe that if I sow into the lives of others, then others will support and sow into my life, and vice versa. So I've been doing that for years and years, and so I realized that the more you help people, the more people will be able to help other people, but also help you, because it's a win-win circle. It goes around in a circle. You help someone, they help you. You help them, they help someone. It just keeps going around and around in a circle. And that's how you build that network of people who are skilled, people who are influenced, and people of substance.
And thus the phrase, you've got to invest in something, huh?
Yes, that's the name of my book. It's time to invest in yourself. And the more you invest in yourself, it makes you better at who you are, so that you can help people become better at who they are.
Okay. Yeah. And Hava, tell us about how you go through that same process of selecting your inner court, those people who you bounce ideas off of that helps you grow and stretch your imagination, if you will.
Absolutely. You know, it's so important, and I think, and it just about breaks down almost into a similar pattern as the doctor had expressed, where you have those three different types of people. And the phraseology that I use for that, which I picked up actually from Tony Robbins, was that you have your artist, your entrepreneur, and your manager leader. And that artist being those creative minds, those people who really are great about coming up with those ideas and concepts and things that, you know, help fuel the juice of whatever the project is. And then, of course, you have your entrepreneur, who is the business mind of it, the person who has the capital funds available or is about the business of the business. And then your manager leader being the individual who is very process-oriented, the one who can put in place systems that will safeguard and make sure that the project moves along in that specific time frame in which it needs to move along. And for me, it's very important that the energy is, you know, correct, so the energy is right, so that we are all on that same page and moving in the same direction. There's nothing worse than having someone, a part of your group, that is not, I won't say not sure of themselves, but not sure of or fully invested in the project, because you are really only as strong as your weakest link. It is so very true. And so making sure that people are all on the same page and moving towards the same goal and are working in that spirit of harmony where we're all about seeing each other, you know, progress and reach our goals. And it's not just about, you know, the goal of one, but the goal of the whole. You know, that's extremely important when looking for people to be a part of, you know, whatever project it is that I'm working on. And people who are going to be diligent and willing to really, you know, put in the blood, sweat, and tears, because, you know, there's always going to be the work that's involved, but it's always a labor of love. So that's kind of a part of my, you know, process for choosing those types of people.
Mm. Okay, and you'll see that in this chapter of the book when it talks about how to multiply your brain power. If you'll give me a moment, I'd like to share this. It says the human brain may be compared to an electric battery. It is a fact that a group of batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. It is also a fact that the amount of energy provided by each individual battery depends on the number and capacity of the cells it contains. And so to piggyback on what you both have said, you do need those people that are in different areas of your lives and who can bring different things to the table. And it's also important that you have that peace and that harmony, because we know what grows out of confusion, and whatever it is not something you want to have in your circle. Would you please check our listening audience and see if your phones are on speaker phone? It causes us to have feedback, making it more difficult for other listeners to appreciate our show. So if you'll take us off the speakerphone, it would help our process. So we've talked about the power of having many people and the right people. For those listening to us who's just beginning to give thought to this process, can you, let me tell you this. It says finding mastermind members. Align yourself with a group of many people as you have many needs in order to assemble a mastermind that will assist you in creating and carrying out your plans or plans for the accumulation of money. Now, we've got young people listening who they've kind of stumbled onto their friends because, you know, I got a friend and this was my friend's friend, so this is now my friend. And so they stay in that same circle and there's no room for growth. Could you give a younger person some pointers on how to find those other batteries that will help them, help strengthen them?
Cheryl, I have some comments on that because I have personally spoken to over 1 million teenagers throughout the world, and I find that you need different levels of growth for them because they're in different stages at different times of their lives. So you have to first of all find out where they are and where they would like to be, and then you need to make sure that they understand that if you're going to grow, you need to have people around you who are consistent and committed, because those are the two things that are going to carry them to the next level. The young people that I've seen in the International Mastermind Association have been totally excellent. I mean, I have met young people who've read 40 books in a year. I mean, that's very, very unusual. But what happens is it spurted their level of growth. So you may have started one place before you started to read all those books, and at the end of the 40 books, you've grown leaps and bounds. So basically, it's what you put into yourself is going to help you grow and the people who are around you. I believe that they need opportunity and exposure. And that's why I know that you all take those kids to the New York Stock Exchange and all these things so they can see something that there's a different side of life, which will help them want that side of life. I do the same for my grandchildren. I have 8 grandchildren. I have one that just graduated high school last week and another one who graduated high school last year, and then I have one who's an Olympic champion. But the thing about it is that they all grew at different levels. They had different growth spurts because they had different surroundings. And what I try to do is I try to take them into a surrounding that maybe they have not been and maybe their friends don't even know about, because it'll help them grow. So I take them to the opera, and I take them to things that they thought they would like. But these are the things that help them to grow, and then they became committed and consistent to their own growth.
Mm. Okay. Now, Halva, you would have been one of those kids who probably felt different, so there weren't many people to connect yourself to. How would you advise young people or younger people in choosing friends so that it can propel their lives forward?
Oh, absolutely. And I was one of those young people who felt very different and sometimes felt very isolated and alone. And, you know, and I can even remember back in my youth, I spent so much time with, like, my parents' friends. I spent so much time, you know, around, you know, a lot of older individuals, and I learned so much. And so I would say definitely keep an open mind, because sometimes we may think that, oh, I need to be, you know, hanging around kids my age or kids who I go to school with. You know, there's certain expectations or peer pressure to be around a certain crowd of people, but you really have to follow that inner voice. And that inner voice is being trained in a proper way, just like the doctor made mention of, you know, continuing to feed yourself with, whether it's with books or through programs or getting involved, especially when you can get exposures to different things. But opening yourself up to, you know, outside thinking, because in the saying, it says iron sharpens iron. You have to surround yourself with like-minded people who are going to help and continue to help you to grow. And sometimes, you know, the people who maybe are in your immediate circle because of your environment, because, okay, these are people who you're in school with, and you're like, okay, these are the people who I need to hang out with, they may not be the people who you need to be hanging out with. Because what I find so beautiful, and why I'm such a huge proponent for youth, is that they have such huge imagination. They have so many huge dreams, and especially in our youth, it's like that's when the juices are flowing, and you're like, okay, I want to accomplish this in life, and I want to accomplish that in life. So surround yourself with people who have those similar dreams and goals. Surround yourself with people who are doing those things. And I would definitely challenge the youth that don't think that you are not worthy enough to be around. So if you wanted to be a doctor, that yes, there's a doctor who would be willing to, you know, befriend and mentor you. Like there are people out there who are in that same like-minded spirit that you can surround yourself with. So realize the power that you have, even as a youth. Realize the importance that you have, even as a youth, and seek like-minded people. So that would definitely be my advice.
And you know what? Let me just say one other comment too, that I tell my grandchildren and the young people. I teach at a university as well, and I tell them, don't try to be like your friends. Be that example so your friends will want to be like you.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. Because, you know, it's so important in younger years to be accepted. And I worked at a school too, completely different group. Nonetheless, they gravitate. For some reason, it's easier to them to grow in a downward spiral than for them to go upward in life. And I think that all people want to belong to something. So they tend to belong to that's most convenient. So you ladies are saying, break out of that's comfortable. In fact, the book says choose to associate with people who share a common values and goals, yet others who have a strong desire to contribute to the overall effort of bettering themselves. So it's okay to have that friend that you've had forever, but you also have to choose to go into that place where you are reaching out, and the internet allows us to reach out to doctors and other professionals to say, I'm looking for a mentor in this area or in that area. Some of the schools even have counselors who can give them pointers on how to reach other types of people. Before we go into the break, I want to state that the International Mastermind Association also offers that on all age levels. So for those of you who are looking at reprogramming your lives, you know, in January we say we're going to do this and this and this. But, you know, June is also a good month to say, I'm going to better myself. I'm going to head in a different direction. I'm going to now map out a goal to become those things that I dream of becoming. That being said, commercial, if you will.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, looking at that chapter again, The Power of the Mastermind, it says meeting with your mastermind, arrange to meet with members of your group at least twice a week or more if possible until you jointly perform the necessary plan or plans for an accumulation of money. And I keep going back to that money piece because as you're putting your goals together, as you're identifying who your friends are, you're identifying them for the sake of reaching a purpose. I talk to people sometime about masterminding, and they say, well, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in making more money. But when you go back to all the things that we want to do, whether they're going to the opera or traveling the world or improving our health, all of those things go back to accumulating riches, some of them in the form of money. So ladies, when you set out to go to other levels, how did you draw the money that you needed through your mind's action? How did you draw the money that was needed to fund your life? Let's start with you, Helva.
You know, your thoughts produce things. So the things that you continue to focus on, that you continue to keep within your daily, you know, thoughts are going to be the things that, you know, are drawn to you. I mean, it's the law of attraction. It's the way that the world, it's the way that the universe works. And so you really have to stay focused on what your end goal is and what it is that you want to accomplish. And a lot of times, as a matter of fact, I love even one of my coaches, dude, like you have to learn to stay in your own lane, because a lot of times we will try to, you know, map out every single, you know, piece of a puzzle, and sometimes that's not our lane. Our lane is to decide what it is exactly that we want and stay focused on that. And as you are working in that mastermind group, it's ways of those things coming to you may be things that you never thought of, that was never on your radar, never within your, you know, never within your thought pattern at all. But it's about staying focused on that end goal. And then again, making sure that that mastermind group that you are working with, that you have all the pieces to the puzzle there, where that those minds can come together and formulate the plan that's going to help you to achieve that goal. And it's really about staying focused. And yes, money is extremely important. I know a lot of people think that, okay, well, no, I need to just remain, you know, live a very simple life, and that's absolutely fine. But at the end of the day, when you think about the things that you want to accomplish in life, they take money. And that's okay, mm-hmm. because there's money out there in abundance that's available to you. And our creator, the universe, it wants to give us everything that we desire. So there's nothing wrong with the accumulation of money, because as long as you're allowing that to continue to flow, everyone is benefiting. So really being careful about the way that you think, I think, is very important.
And I would like to add to that, Cheryl. Basically, mm-hmm. from years and years and years back, before I even knew they were called goals, I would make a list of 10 things I wanted to get done every year. And every year, even before the year was out, I would accomplish all 10 of those things. And the reason is because I've used the same system now today that I used 40 years ago when I did that. And that is, I monetize my goals. So basically, if I put a goal, back in those days, I had damage to my house, to my home, which I've owned the house now for 40 years, but 40 years ago, I rented it out, and someone, the tenants, really abused the house. So basically, I had to come back into that home and really fix it up, and I realized that the house had 14 windows, and I had no money to get that done. So I monetized that. I could say, I need this amount of money to get these 14 windows done, and this is how I'm going to get the money to get the 14 windows done. And it worked. So I figured that monetizing my goal is what I basically do, and that's for any goal. I put a value to it. Now, basically, I figure I get to get a lot of people who tell me, well, I don't want to speak and make money. I just want to do my passion. I just want to put it out there. I just want to get my message out. And I kind of break it down and show them, well, to get your message out, you need this, you need that, you need that. And all those things cost. So I tell them, if you don't want to make the money and donate it. What's wrong with doing that? So if you don't want the money, you think you have enough money, all the money in the world, so donate it. Give it to a worthy cause. I do a lot of donations, and I give a lot, especially to my church and other things, because I know there are people who have needs. But I have a granddaughter who was just inducted into the Hall of Fame. She is an elite track star. She runs all over the world. And the reason I had to go and accept the award for her in Orlando, because she was in China running a race. So how did she get to China? Well, when she was 12 years old, she was going to the Junior Olympics, and she was winning like crazy. But she needed new shoes. Her parents didn't have it. She always needed a new track outfit. Her parents didn't have it. It cost money to get on the plane to get to the track meet in California for the Junior Olympics. They didn't have it. So basically, I had the funds to support that. So you can support a child. You can do a lot with the money rather than just keep it yourself. Making money is not a selfish thing. It is something that can help you. You can't be absorbed by the money. You can't put too much into the money than putting it into helping other people. But you need the money.
Mm. So it's only the love of money that is the root of all evil.
That's what excellent. The good book says. Exactly. Yes.
So as we have our money and we wish to share our money, or if there's such a thing of having too much money, you can always give it to others who have a need. And I really like the idea of investing your money by donating it into the life of a youth, by helping them reach their goals, their dreams, and their aspirations. So that being said, I'm sure there's a question I've not asked that you ladies might want to share with our audience. In this thing, in this idea of masterminding, having like friends and reaching your goals, are there some other little trinkets that you can share in any of those areas?
Especially in the arena of reaching goals, it's so important. There's a lot of people, we have a lot of dreams and a lot of goals. And what I really encourage people to do is whatever you have, that, you know, that idea or that dream or that goal that's in your head, write it down. Write it down. And there's something about that process, that getting it, you know, from your mind through your body, through that hand, through that pen, to that paper, that makes such a tremendous difference and really helps you to be able to get closer to that goal. And then two, it's because if you just have an idea in your head and you're not willing to put the effort in writing it down, going through the physical action of writing it down, then you're really telling the universe, you're really putting it out there that maybe I really don't, you know, I'm not willing to put in the work that it takes to get to this goal. So that's kind of, when it comes to goal setting and goal attainment, is write it down. And goals, you have to set a date. Set a date, because it makes it real. And it gives you something concrete that your mind, your subconscious, can then lock onto to help you to get to that goal. And no matter what people are telling you, what, you know, people around you, maybe there, you know, there are people in your life who are discouraging in some way, or like, you know what, no, you're not going to achieve that. Do not allow that to come within you. Be very, very specific about the people who you surround yourself with and the messages that you allow into your mind and into your thoughts, and stay focused on whatever that goal is, because you can accomplish it. You absolutely, positively can accomplish it.
I definitely agree with everything that you've said, because I often say that if you don't write your goals down, it's just a wish list. You know, you're just wishing you can do those things. It has not become real to you unless you write it down. I write my goals down, and I put them on the bathroom door, because I heard Anne say something so profound once that she heard another speaker say, is that the speaker asked, what do you do when you get up the first thing in the morning? And everybody said they pray. She says, no, you go to the bathroom. I have loved that ever since I heard Anne tell that story of a speaker she heard. So basically, I write my goals down, but I put them on the bathroom door, because that's the first place you're going in the morning. And said that way I could take a look at them when I first look up, wake up. And I have a goal-setting worksheet, an actual worksheet that I pass out in my workshops to show people how to get started with setting goals, because some people don't know and they don't have any idea of how to do that. So basically, also, I like what the speaker said about people who try to discourage you. You should always make those people your goal for accomplishing it. There are so many people who tell everybody what you cannot do, and people are doing those things today. I had such a very low self-esteem when I grew up, and people never guess that now, because I'm on the stage speaking before 20,000 people. They said, there's no way you could have a low self-esteem. I said, I had a low self-esteem. I don't have one now. I'm too old for that. And so basically, I worked on myself, and I worked on myself through setting goals. And I've noticed that a lot of things, there's a lot of buzzwords that go around, because over the last few 10, 15 years, the buzzwords, especially in the faith-based community, has been purpose. So everybody's searching for purpose. I always thought I already had the purpose. I just didn't know what to do with it. So what I use, the word I use is potential. I try to reach my potential in my purpose rather than keep searching for it, because I already have it. I believe everybody was born with your purpose, but we've gotten so far off track that we have gotten away from what it is we're really supposed to be doing. So I try to stay focused on what it is that I need to be doing, what is the design for my life, and then I try to reach my potential in that particular area. For example, I took a public speaking class back in the 1969 or something like that, because I was so shy and I figured that would break me out of it. And the first time that I spoke in class, the teacher asked for me to step outside, and I thought I was so terrible that she was going to tell me, you know, drop the class. But she got outside and she said, you're really good at this. I mean, I was totally shocked. I never thought I was good at anything. So basically, sometimes other people can see in you what it is you can't see in yourself. So then I realized, well, hey, this is where my area is, where I need to reach my potential. So I started doing things to reach my potential in the area of speaking, and now I'm known as the top 5% of speakers in the United States. So basically, it's because someone encouraged me, and I took that rather than all the people who would try to discourage me.
Good. So we have to watch who our cheerleaders are, and then we
exactly.
have to watch our self-talk, because self-talk is just as damaging as the negative talk of others. Writing those goals down, keeping them in your forefront. I like the way you phrase that, getting it through your body and out of that hand and into the pencil and onto the paper, because when you can let every fiber in you fill up with your vision, that purpose, and identifying that potential in your purpose, you know, it's okay to be different. I think we don't give people permission to be different. Where would we be if Steve Jobs had not been different? You know? So as we give ourselves and give others permission to be different, then I think they're going to begin to really rip into their potential, and then create some things that the world has never seen. I believe that we're all here for a purpose. I believe that. But I believe that so often, someone said that the graveyard is the most richest place in the world, because therein lies the dreams of people who never wrote the plays or the books or invented the things that were meant to be invented. So as we give ourselves permission to be different, then we can reach goals. Just because mom and dad didn't do it doesn't mean we can't do it. It just means that mom and dad didn't do it. And then with that, we look at some of the things that happened to us. Dr. Dupree, you talk about self-esteem. When we come back from the commercial, I want to talk about self-esteem and how to get past that. You said you were too old to be shy, and I would say that at this point you're too wise to be shy because it promised you nothing. But when we come back from our break, I want to talk about that, and I also want to talk about roadblocks, because I am sure that you ladies did not get to your mountaintops without having to go through some roadblocks, some naysayers, and actually discarding some people from your lives. Would you give us a moment to pause for a commercial?
Of course.
Great. Thank you.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, I was in a group of people recently, and someone said they had been diagnosed with the disease. And of the four people standing there, one of them being diagnosed with the disease, two of them began to tell her of the people they knew that died with the disease. And I'm standing there, and I'm trying to think of who did I know that had it and lived. And when I thought of a person, I began to tell her that story. Her countenance totally changed. Because sometimes we've got those people who are cheerleaders for us. They believe that we won't achieve. And then they begin to tell us about how we can't do it. So I'm sure that over your roads, your highways, you ran into people like that. How do we deal with those types of situations? And how about the times when we don't want to get out of bed ourselves to go and reach our dreams, goals, and aspirations? How do we deal with that?
Oh, Lord, you so hit it, struck a nerve with me with that one. Yes, talk about the naysayers. There were going to be people who, because of either their lack of experience, their listening to people around them, you know, they automatically, it seems like it's so much easier for people to go right into the negative or go right into the, oh, no, that's not going to work. Oh, no, so-and-so has tried that and that's going to fail. And it's so easy for people to go into that mode. And a lot of times it happens because of fear. They could be fearful of failure. They could even be fearful of success. So whenever, like, I remember I wanted to learn, you know, I wanted to get into the stock market in some way, shape, or form. I didn't, you know, really know a strategy, and I was trying to, you know, figure out how I can do it. Well, I was introduced to a strategy, and I was like, okay, after listening to it, I was like, okay, this really sounds like it's something that I can do and something I can be successful at. And I remember leaving from that event and going talking to somebody who was at that same event with me, and they were like, oh, no, I had, you know, a friend of mine who did that, and, you know, they lost all their money. But, I mean, just immediately went into, like, tearing down the strategy and tearing down. And I asked him, I said, I definitely appreciate you, you know, sharing that experience with me. I said, but have you actually used this strategy before? And he was like, well, no, you know, but my good friend did such and such. And I said, well, okay. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and talk to somebody who has used this strategy and has been successful at it, because there's somebody who has been. So I will look to people who because it's just as many people who may have tried something and have failed at it, there are probably even more people who have tried it and been successful at it. So those are the people who I will choose to model and choose to look to or get advice from, not the person who didn't do well with it. So I think it's so important, the people who we allow their opinions, or either allow it or don't allow those opinions to affect what it is that we want to do, or the things that we want to accomplish in life. So you just have to be very careful of that.
I agree. I basically have a sort of different experience from a lot of people, maybe a lot of people who are listening to this show because they're a lot younger. But I grew up during segregated times. I was born in the 1940s. So I was growing up in the 1950s, and by the mid-60s, I was already married. I grew up in a time where it was just hard to live because we weren't allowed to do certain things. I tell people all the time, especially my students, I wasn't even allowed to try on clothes in the store because I was black. I wasn't allowed to try on shoes. You just had to buy them guessing your size. And, you know, black people couldn't ride in a taxi cab even if you had money to pay. So basically, I grew up through some times where everything in my surrounding was negative except for my family, my friends around, and our church. So because of that, I grew up trying to make sure that I met the challenge for whatever it was. Even though I was shy, I would try to meet the challenge for whatever it was. So basically, I started as a small child in elementary school reading every book in the library. My sister went back to that school like 30 years later to teach there. And the comments on the records that they were discarding, because the records had become so old, she asked to read my records and her records and my other sister's records. And she said, "You know what they said about you?" They called me Teeny because I was real tiny. "You know what they said about you, Teeny?" And I said, "What did they say?" She said, "Every teacher said you read every book in the library, even books that didn't relate to what you had to do," because I had a thirst for knowledge, because I knew that knowledge would get me out of worrying about what people said to me. So I read everybody's biography and all of that, and it taught me the same as the other speaker just said, to look at people who did positive things so that those people who did the positive things could be an influence in my life more than the people who did the negative things. And the one that encouraged me the most was reading a book about people who failed hundreds of times, but they kept at it. And so basically, I started to be someone who loved to get up out of the bed every morning. I don't regret that at all. I stay up late because I work, I write books, and I work late at night, and I work on my speeches and programs. So I go to bed real late, and I get up real, real early. I get up in the dark because I'm excited about every day. I mean, I have lived such a wonderful life and have so much to give and offer, but also so much to learn from other people till I'm ready to get started every morning. And so basically I tell people that, you know, with the self-esteem issue, I tell people that the self-esteem issue is something that I believe that's learned, because if you look up the word self-esteem, it means you esteem yourself according to how other people think about you. So what I teach is self-worth. You got to see where you're valuable, self-discipline. You have to do things in a disciplined way. Some people are they're not disciplined, so they don't understand that discipline means that you have a structure into your life. I have a great structure in my life, and I follow it. And some people really don't like it because I'm so strict with that structure, but it's gotten me to where I am today. And then a level of respect. You have to respect yourself, and you have to respect others. And so I grow in that particular way by doing that. I figure everything is a process, and I have a structure for everything. Like I said, I monetize my goals, because if I see that value that I'm going to make this amount to keep my business going and help my grandchildren, then I'm going to make sure I achieve that.
You know, and I want to touch on a point that you made earlier.
Excuse me, we have a caller. We have a caller. Is Sabrina still waiting to speak?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining.
I'll make it quick. I'm personally, my issue is consistency. And when people give me offers, like come on my show and talk about your book or talk about the things you do, I go into a place of saying no, because I feel like I'm not polished. or I don't do videos and stuff because I don't feel like I'm polished enough to speak properly or to present myself a certain way on my vocabulary. And how can I overcome this? What kind of mental strategy can I develop to get over that?
Cheryl, can I comment on that, please?
Please do, yes.
Because I help a lot of people get their books written and published, and then once it's written and published, you have to sell it. So the first question you should ask yourself when they call you is, why did you write the book in the first place? You didn't write the book to put it in a secret closet. You wrote the book so that you can help people. And the way you can help people is to get exposure for that book. So if you don't have a way of getting on the air or knowing how to do it, you get a mentor, you get a role model, or you come to Professional Speakers Network. That's what we teach people to do. We have people who are so shy, at one point when they come, they don't want to stand up in the meeting and say their name, and now they're out speaking all over the world. So basically, it's that getting started, and confidence is built. A lot of people don't have confidence, but you work with someone who can build your confidence. But the main thing I would say is you figure out, why did you write the book in the first place? Do you want the book to sell? And what are ways to sell the book? One of the other ways to sell the books are some of the things you already named. I think you could be very successful with this.
I just want to say to you, I'm still working on the book. That's the thing. But I have, you know, I'm a blogger. I've been doing videos. I've been doing shows for a long time. So my face and my name is very known. So some people just asked me to come on this show. I just wanted to say that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's the way you promote your book, even though it's not written. It doesn't have to be written yet.
Okay.
To promote it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard Les Brown say repeatedly that anything worth doing is worth doing badly.
Okay.
So do it to the best of your ability, and the more you do it, the better you will become at doing it. Take a leap of faith, darling.
Okay.
Because everything is practice. Everything is practice.
Right. And what about consistency? How do you, you know, I'm a mom, how do I, you know, what does consistency really mean, and how do you practice really remaining consistent in what you do?
You know what? I think it's really important, and maybe because you play a lot of roles. You know, you wear a lot of hats. I hear you say that you were a blogger. You know, you create videos. You're a mom. So you do a lot of different things. And so maybe for you, creating a schedule, you know, having a very specific intent for your day, having a very specific intent for a particular, you know, time period of that day so that you do accomplish those things that you want to accomplish. So I'm going to set aside, you know, here's what my ultimate, you know, goal is for this day. Maybe you start with the day. So for this day, I want to accomplish X, Y, and Z. Here are the important components of me accomplishing X, Y, and Z. So let me schedule out this day to the best of your ability and trying to stick with that schedule. And, of course, things will happen where, you know, a monkey wrench is thrown in, you know, compromise has to be made. But, you know, if you start to create a schedule for yourself, then and you start sticking to that schedule, you'll find it easier to, okay, yes, I was able to accomplish that, I was able to accomplish that, I was able to accomplish that. Sometimes if we go into it or into our day or into our week with no game plan, then we can be just thrown about with the wind. You know, we're here, we're there, and we feel like we have no real purpose because we're just, you know, doing all kind of random stuff. So maybe, you know, try to institute something like a schedule could be helpful for you to maintain that consistency.
I totally agree with that. I call it structural, but I totally agree with that.
I'd like to add this because I was a single mom, and there's a time, I don't know the age of your child or children, but they need to have a bedtime. And my real life started when my daughter's bedtime started because it was important that she had time and attention. But then as she got older and she didn't need a bedtime, she knew that from this time to that time was mom's time and mom was not to be disturbed. So if they're old enough that they can take care of themselves, block out that time and have them know that this is the time that you're working on securing their future, whatever it is whatever you call it, in getting your stuff done. And maybe it's not something that you do talking about activities in your life. Maybe you don't do them every day for 20 minutes, but you might do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday for 30 minutes or an hour, however you block it out. But whatever you do, make sure you give you some downtime. Because if you move into a place of overwhelm, you're likely to shut down completely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm excited about where you're headed.
Thank you. Just if I could speak again, unless the show is over.
Well, if the show's over or not, you can speak again.
Oh, okay. my children are 6, and I have a little baby that's 2. To answer your question, and the key thing is, yeah.
Okay. So 8 seconds. So your baby's what?
My baby is 6 years old, and then my youngest is 2 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, I had to compromise and say, okay, I can only write on the weekend, because even at night, if I try to write, I'm tired. You know, I'm exhausted.
Okay.
So, you know.
In the interest of time, and I'm told we've got to go, maybe you can wake up a little bit earlier than everyone else and use some of that time. I think we're going to have to pause because they're going to have to press a button that says something. So that being said, somebody press a button.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich. The original version, restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Okay. So, sweetheart, you were saying... We're off the air, but you can keep talking. What is it?
No, I was telling you the age of my children. The key thing with me is I've been out there for a long time, but now it's time for me to get out there, if you know what I mean. I've been offered, someone wants me to co-host their show, some people ask me to come on their show, I've did featured blogs, so I've done some things. But when it comes to that public speaking arena, that's when I'm like, I shut down, like, oh, my God, I don't feel like I'm polished enough. Or when I want to do a video, oh, I don't feel like I'm polished enough, so I don't do it. And what I'm realizing is it's blocking me, you know, it's blocking me. And I'm like, well, I need to get out of this, but what is the first step that I take, you know?
You know really came to mind as you were speaking about, you know, the things that how you speak to yourself, and you know that the thoughts that are running through your head. First of all, let me say this: that everything that you need is within you now. Mm-hmm. Everything that you need is within you now, and it really called to mind the example of Moses and Aaron. Moses had a very big message that he was supposed to go deliver to Pharaoh, who was the leader of the land. I mean, the person that people, you know, feared, people admired, and he felt, I can't go and talk to him. Like, I have a speech impediment. Like, I'm not a good speaker. I can't go and talk to him. I can't go and tell him, you know, anything. But that message was so powerful and so important that he did step up to the plate to go and speak to Pharaoh and deliver that message. And now you're in the midst of creating a book. You have a message. You have a purpose and something that needs to get out to people. So allow that message to be your crutch. You have everything you need within you, and you have to see that within yourself. There have been people who, and from speaking to you now and hearing you talk, you sound extremely well. Like you speak clearly, you speak very understandably. So that's really only in your own head. It really is.
So I agree.
Exactly. And you have to speak to that negative talk and say that's a lie. Yes.
Yeah.
Someone call my name?
Yeah, I agree with that, because I teach public speaking at a university, aside from teaching people to speak for a living.
And I see people who are so shy, but they have a good message. So it's like, to me, it's how bad do you really want to get this message out? So you have to try a little harder. And after a short period of time, these people are like not even the same person. I mean, after a semester in class or after the shorter workshops, people are just, they come out. They just need someone to show them how to bring that out. And that's what happened with me. I was very shy, as I said earlier in the program, and I was born in the 40s, so this was like in the late 60s, and I took a public speaking class, and I thought I was terrible when the teacher told me that I was great and I would have a career in this, and now I speak all over the world.
Mm-hmm. What
so
is the name
it took
of the,
practice.
What's the name of the site again? When you said publicspeaking.com, what did you say the name of it was?
No, it's prospeakersnetwork.com, P-R-O, speakers with an S, network.com.
Okay.
We've been teaching people to speak for money or just to speak for the last 21 years.
And she's been doing it well, I might add. Another thing you want to do, darling, again with the positive self-talk, but practice in your mirror. And when you do go out on that, yes? Yes, Anne?
Yes, this is Anne McGill.
Yes?
If I may make two comments, please.
Yes.
Thank you. I'd just like to encourage the caller. You can give her a number. She can call, and we can continue the conversation. But we'd also like to encourage any of our listeners to get a copy of the book, this book that we're referencing, the Think and Grow Rich book. We're coming to the end of our show, and so we do want to...
Oh, I thought the show had ended.
No.
My apologies. I thought the show had ended.
We're still on the radio. So we can give you a number to dial if you would, or if you want to just take,
I would like that number, definitely. And tell me when I can call.
Let me give you my cell number so we can go ahead and wrap up the show and have a conversation offline. My number is 786-546-0184, and anybody listening to this can also call me because I am the master builder, building stronger and better lives as we build master minds. But also, Cheryl, I'd like to just end the show by encouraging all of our listeners to join us on the 20th of July at our mid-year conference of accountability for the International Mastermind Association. And there, at that time, we can continue to create mastermind groups and continue to give the listening audience an opportunity to be held accountable for those people that would like to get additional information. And we're on this radio show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. live. And so with that, Cheryl, I'll turn it back over to you, and I want to thank Pavela Malone and Dr. Peter Griffin coming on and joining us today and sharing with us their wisdom.
And Cheryl, I'm going to have to hang up and go, but I would like to say thank you all very much to you for being such a wonderful hostess and Anne McNeil for inviting me, but also to thank the wonderful guest. Oh my gosh, she's just wonderful. And so I'm happy to meet you over the air, Miss Malone, and to congratulate you for all that you've done. And I am just really thankful that I had a chance to listen to you.
May I say one more thing before you go? Before you go, Dr. Dupree, I'd like to say thank you to my guests. Thank you to the caller. It is so my prayer that the blessings you have been to us come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God bless you all. Thank you, listening audience. Bye-bye.
I receive that. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Goodbye, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.